Espionage Act. That's a little pesky thing, isn't it? I'm Maggie Dawn. This, of course, is the Maggie Dawn Show. And yeah, Trump is not turning the page anytime soon. I promised you yesterday we're going to do it today. I want to play the tape of Trump actually audibly showing classified documents about plans to invade Iran, potentially, or something having to do with our nuclear preparedness for a war with Iran. In just a second, because it's pretty amazing. Trump has tried out nearly every, if you gave a like a third grader a project and it was come up with every known or knowable or any kind of excuse you could think of for why you have your teacher's like answer book, you know how you always wanted the answer book and you took it home. Why do you have this? Oh, well, it was in with a bunch of stuff. Oh, I thought that was my textbook. Yeah, I took that class last year. And even though I'm now in fourth grade, I figured I could keep the answer book. You know, what? It is akin to a third grader struggling to find answers and explanations and excuses for why they've got something they shouldn't have. It's exactly like that. And then, of course, the tape eventually drops. And it did this past week, and we all knew it was going to come at some point in time. That evidence is out there. We knew we were going to hear it. And now we have, you know, what I call the unfiltered Trump, Trump being Trump, not Trump at a rally, not Trump with a mic in front of his face, Trump with some folks he wants to impress, where he feels his ego is threatened. And what will Trump do when he feels his power, his position, his ego is being threatened? Yeah, we now know exactly what he'll do. He'll take confidential documents that he shouldn't have had in the first place, wave them around like he just don't care, and show them to members of the media. And oh, by the way, his excuses have evolved, and not well. None of them have been aging well, but they keep changing. I mean, this faith and freedom rally he was at, and by the way, he gets like hailed as a conquering hero at this thing by folks that claim to be Christians, right? And former Governor Christie literally got booed at that convention this past weekend. That's what we've got here. Yeah, at that convention, he said things like, it's outrageous that I've been charged under the Espionage Act. I legally kept my own documents. Whatever documents a president takes, he has an absolute right to take them and keep them. I had every right to have these documents. Yeah, those are all lies. They're knowing lies. He knew they were lies. Lying liars and the lies they tell, whatever that great book title was from back in the day. So I think we should just start with the tape in all of its complete glory. You've probably heard it before, but it bears listening to again and listening to it closely.
And because the things he's... It's cut up into three pieces, right? Because there's a lot here. Let's be real. To just listen to this, fire hose of bad faith.
Yeah, of words.
Yeah, of just logical fallacy and just lies. It's a lot. You know, it overwhelms.
We can do it in pieces.
So we got three little pieces.
I love to talk about the ridiculous things that come right out of his own mouth.
Yeah, but whenever we're ready here.
Yeah, fire away. Let's take cut one of the actual Trump tape.
That was your coup, you know, against you.
It started right at the
beginning.
Like when
Millie's talking about, you were going to try to do a coup. No, they were trying to do that before you even were sworn in.
That's right.
Trying to overthrow your election.
Well, with Millie, let me see that. I'll show you an example. He said that I wanted to attack Iran. Isn't it amazing? I have a big pile of papers. This thing just came up. Look.
Just keep on rolling. We'll just keep on going.
Yeah. There's some interesting things in there. First of all, inquiring minds want to know, who's that lady? Right?
There's two
ladies.
Who's
that girl?
There's two of them.
I know.
Yeah.
Comes up in the next sort of segment. I want to know who this lady is because she is kissing so much buttocks in this pseudo interview. She said something to the effect of, they were trying to overthrow your election before you were sworn in. Huh?
Like encyclopedic version of what he wants to hear, basically.
Of course, and it also complete oxymoronic nonsense. Nobody's trying to overthrow the 2016 election. Hillary actually conceded, you nitwit. Right? And then she's talking about, oh, and Millie, yes. Mm-hmm. Well, here you've got this moment in time where Trump was trying to rebut the criticism that General Milley was putting out there. And the information that had come out after January 6th, or some, it may have been some period of time before the 6th, but after the election, where it became known that General Milley had gone around and basically said, yeah, if the president gives some order to invade or to go to war, especially with Iran, yeah, y'all need to run that one past me to find out if that's a real order.
I'm going
to
look it up. I think that might have even been before
the election,
the inauguration. Like it was, you know, he was still president
before the 20th,
but he was in panic mode because, you know, it was over. It was over. And yes. Things were a little bit tense, we'll just say.
And here, the interesting thing that I think it, not about the fact that Trump is admitting to a crime, right? He can't deny what's on this tape. The thing that I think is so fascinating to me is that despite this obsequious interviewer's intimations, what Trump is presenting to her does not actually address the criticism that was being leveled at Trump at the time, right? The criticism that was being leveled at Trump at the time was that this man is so unstable, the armed forces can't rely on their commander-in-chief to provide a decent order. He's so distracted. His ego, his fragile psychology is so, so under threat because, as Evan said, likely after the election, but sometime before Biden is sworn in, that he is such a mess. He's a wreck. He's not acting rationally, that Milley has to quietly go out there and say, don't accept war orders from this man. You need to run them past me. Well, the fact that Milley, per Trump in this tape, may have showed Trump plans to invade Iran, which, by the way, Trump could have ordered Milley to provide.
And
does
which
not,
he was blaming them for in this tape.
Correct. Yeah. Does not respond to or have anything to do with the precise criticism, which was, Trump, you were so out of control. You're such a small man with such a minuscule amount of confidence that you couldn't be trusted with your finger on the button. And so your top general had to step in. Yeah, even if he did present those papers to you sua sponte on his own, doesn't negate the fact that he couldn't trust you with them, couldn't trust what you do with them. That's the problem. Huh. Let me show you an example, starts rustling around. I have this big pile of papers. That's where we are. Keep it rolling, Evan.
This was him. They presented me this. This is off the record, but they presented me this. This was him. This was the Defense Department and him.
Wow.
We looked at some. This was him. This wasn't done by me. This was him. Mm. All sorts of stuff. It's pages long. Look. Mm. Wait a minute. Let's see here. Wait a minute.
Yeah.
I just found, isn't that amazing? This totally wins my case, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Except it is like highly confidential, yeah. Secret. This is secret information. Yeah. But look at this. You attack. And
Hillary would print that out all the time, you know.
She'd send it, she'd send it to Anthony Weiner.
Yeah, yeah.
The pervert. By the way, isn't that incredible, though?
Yeah.
I was just saying, because we were talking about it. And, you know, he said he wanted to attack Iran and what?
Yeah, he said
the papers.
Did.
It's this was done by the military, given to me.
It's a Republican fever dream in the seventh circle of hell. It's insane to hear this.
Right. So again, keep in mind what we just explained before the second portion of the tape, right? He's trying to assert that the criticism that he couldn't be trusted to make rational decisions, which was the point of the press that had come out about Milley effectively giving an order, that the president's orders regarding war weren't to be followed. And he is busy talking about, he presented this to me. Yeah. You dummy. Do we not think Donald J. Trump asked Milley to prepare war plans? It's not like they sit around in the DOD and like, let's just randomly sketch up very current, very of the moment war. They have war plans on everybody, of course. But it seems to me this is a highly specific thing. And now he's saying, oh, well, yeah, this wins my case. Wins my case that what? You're not to be trusted with the nation's most secret information? No, it does not win your case. It proves that point.
It's one of the most nonsensical parts of it. Like, what case? I can't even understand what he means there.
He means the case of the press reporting that Milley had to issue this contravening order. But I think that's the case that he's referring to. But it's not a case.
No one
cares
anymore.
He's talking about criticism of him, and he can't understand that what he's showing these people has nothing to do with the baseline criticism. It's actually reinforcing the point that the man's unfit to lead a country. He's unfit to be a commander in chief. This proves it. Was that all of the sound?
We have one more, and it's almost the most craven one, in my opinion.
Well, hit it.
I think we can probably hit it.
We'll have to see. Yeah, we'll have to try to
declassify. See, as president, I could have declassified it. Now I can't, but this is
classified. Now we have a problem.
Isn't that interesting?
Yeah.
It's so cool. I mean, and you probably almost didn't believe me, but now you believe me.
No, I believe
it's incredible, right?
No,
hey, bring some Cokes in, please.
It's so cool. Oh, it's so cool.
That's not the problem, of course. As a criminal matter, he can say whatever he wants is cool. The problem is, for Donald Trump, what he said right at the beginning of that third cut, and that is, these are secret, these are confidential. I could have declassified these when I was president, but I didn't. We have a problem. And then they're talking about whether or not they could be used by this member of the press to effectively be Donald Trump's PR instrument, to go out and to tell the public, oh, no. What General Milley has been reported as saying, that you were unreliable, that you couldn't be trusted with our nation's most important security issues. I'm sorry. This is so disgustingly terrible, it almost defies commentary, but don't you worry. I'll continue to comment on it just as soon as we get back. I'm Maggie Dawn. This is The Maggie Dawn Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. Call and join us, 844-967-2789. Yeah, the clean versions are always good. But boy, that was on point, wasn't it? little Amy Winehouse to bring us back. I'm Maggie Dawn. You are listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. You can always listen crystal clear on the brand new Civic Media Radio app. Go to your favorite app store, download, and then you have one touch call into the show, one touch text. We'll see it real time. Super cool, super fun. But of course, you can always do it the old-fashioned way, call or text 844-967-2789. I know that powerful people and rich people say incredibly stupid things all the time. And they're surrounded by people who laugh at jokes that aren't funny, say yes when they should say no, and enable all sorts of incredibly disgusting behavior. But we confirmed during the break that this meeting happened 2 days after January 6th. And what Donald Trump is worried about is that General Milley reportedly didn't trust him to see the country through to January 20th. I wonder why that is, Wonder why General Milley might have issued such an order. Might it be because you did nothing to discourage your supporters not 48 hours before from chanting "Hang Mike Pence"? Might that be why the chairman of the Joint Chiefs was concerned about your judgment, sir. May I remind the audience, of course, that the constitutional amendment that allows the cabinet to remove a president was also being discussed at this time. I mean, that's what we're talking about here. I want to hear the last part of the clip one more time, Evan, because that is a guilty verdict.
I think we can probably, yeah.
I don't know. We'll have to see. Yeah, we'll have to try to
declassify.
Figure out
yeah. See, as president, I could have declassified it. Now I can't, you know, but this is
classified. Now we have a problem.
Isn't that interesting?
Yeah.
It's so cool. I mean, it's so, here and I have a, and you probably almost didn't believe me, but now you believe me.
No, I believe
it's incredible, right?
No,
hey, bring some Cokes in, please.
Some
bring some Cokes in, please. Yeah.
Man.
You know, I often, when I show our nuclear war plans and response plans for a potential world war and engagement with Iran, that also makes me parched, and I search for the nearest Coca-Cola product. You can tell that the woman that he's talking with, and there's two women apparently in this interview, that she knows that, like, we'll have to see if we can use what you're giving me, to which he then engages in the very conversation about its classified status.
Yeah, the topic and the tone don't match, and it ends. It's maniacal. It's positively depraved.
What that is sociopathic, right? It's
yes.
It's psychopathy. It's like there's no, the light-weighted tenor of this belies the subject matter. And remember, the underlying thing here is Millie was so worried that the man would actually start a war with Iran, perhaps because Trump asked him to put together the war plans. You know what I'm saying? Like, General Milley can't go out and say that. He can't say, I'm worried that Donald Trump might order a war with Iran because he ordered me to prepare war plans. Yeah, all of the rest of people in government, to a large extent, bear unbelievably weighty secrets all the time. It's part of what we do. But there becomes a moment when there's a higher calling. That's why this, the Trump deep throat, that guy that wrote that book, and oh, we all stick around because if we leave and there's no one good there, no one will be there to constrain his worst impulses. You jerk. You shouldn't have taken the job in the first place, but you let your ego get ahead of you. All of these co-conspirators.
No one competent would have been there. You know, had they left, like, yeah, his worst impulses would have, they would have tried to act on him, but he doesn't surround himself with competent actors.
They wouldn't have known how to execute.
Exactly.
And one of his chief co-conspirators was Bill frickin' Barr. But now even Bill Barr knows that the gig, as they say, is up. And we can listen to him say it himself. You got a little Bill Barr for me, Evan?
Wait, see what the defense says and what proves to be true. But I do think that even half what Andy McCarthy said, which is if even half of it is true, then he's toast. I mean, it's a very detailed indictment, and it's very, very damning.
Yeah. So is a tape where you're like, I could have declassified them. I didn't. They're classified. Bring in some Cokes, will ya?
It buries him completely. That's why it exonerates me. It just makes no sense at all.
No, none of this makes any sense unless you are the center of the universe, right? If the only thing that matters is you, it doesn't matter what's in the document. If it's useful to you, you'll use it. 2 days after January 6th, right? That's where we're at. And I just want to make a couple of things very clear. Absolutely nothing in the Presidential Records Act entitles a president to keep classified materials after they are president. Nothing. In fact, the Presidential Records Act was enacted to prevent exactly that from happening. What it clarified in its purpose was that in a post-Nixon era where an American president was nearly impeached, the country realized we better lock up our secrets. So the Presidential Records Act, yeah, it states clearly, very clearly, that classified materials are property of the U.S. government.
And to specify, the actual leaked recording came from an interview at his Bedminster Resort in July of 2021. So it was after he had been gone, right?
So What does that mean, folks? It means keep your eye on the New Jersey federal courts, because there might be some interesting action coming from that section of the United States. I am Maggie Dunn. We're going to take a little pivot after the break. So keep it locked in. Come back and join us here on the Maggie Dunn Show. Call or text 844-967-2789.
Nobody knows what I'm doing here, and I ain't got a clue.
Messing that would be Donald Trump, right, as president. Nobody knows what I'm doing here, and I ain't got a clue.
And people should recognize just how slick this was, getting back into this segment.
Yeah.
It was, we'll call it efficient. There was no meat, you know, fat on the bone here. It was all, every millisecond was used, and it ended up working out great.
Good. Well, you are most welcome to come back to the Maggie Dunn Show. I'm here with my producer, Evan Preston. Thanks so much for tuning in. Join the conversation, 844-967-2789. So, a member of the Democratic delegation in the Assembly, I believe, in the State Senate, used the F-bomb today on the floor. You get to hang out with me in the studio on the radio if you can call in and guess who that was. But I also want to know from you all out there if you think using an F-bomb on the Senate floor is acceptable, and if so, in what circumstances? Because we've got some here, and we can explore whether or not those were the appropriate circumstances, and we will certainly do that in the last segment of the day. So if you're on the line and you've got an idea about who dropped the F-bomb, and no cheating, you can't look it up on the Google box.
No cheating. Don't do that. Nope.
If you know already, call up and let us know. Let us know what you think about the use of it. 844-967-2789. But we gotta go back to, my head still explodes every time I think about what this man admitted on these tapes. It's just incredible to me. Now, keep in mind, everybody, that they're going to play the tape, and then they're going to call as a witness both of those women. And so some of his other little excuses, which I think yesterday was on ABC, he said, oh, it's just showing them newspapers and things. I know what a newspaper sounds like, and it doesn't sound like what that sounded like.
That was A4, you know,
yeah.
Bleached. I can't remember what else they do to paper, but you know, that was the good stuff.
Yes. This is the good stuff. Yeah, that was the good stuff. It wasn't a newspaper. So, they're going to be calling live witnesses. His lawyer, Corcoran, might be called as a witness. He's going to testify that he told Donald Trump that he couldn't have any of this stuff and that he had to turn it over. And yet, you know, didn't. I heard that Dynamo Dave is on the line. My friend, what say you this fine afternoon?
I'm going to guess this was that senator from Texas, the guy that ran in 2016 against Trump. I can't recall his name.
Ted Cruz.
Yeah.
Ted Cruz.
Yeah, Ted Cruz. I don't know why I couldn't remember his name. But yeah, was it Ted Cruz?
It was not Ted Cruz. We're talking about a state senator here in Wisconsin. So in our state.
I'm sorry.
Senate. Oh, I wonder who it was.
But I love the fact that, like, if you have to generate, like, if I'm describing a despicable person that's in the U.S. Senate, like, other than Ron Johnson, the next person you think of is, of course, Ted Cruz. So I applaud that, Dynamo Dave. I'm here for that.
Thank you. You're very kind. Hey, you know, Trump, doesn't this stuff, you know, that he's saying newspaper or something like that, doesn't that rise to the level of treason as far as the whole showing stuff as far as the plans to invade Iran?
Well, he talked about executing people
took,
who did
you know,
this.
And then what was it, Manafort pulled, I don't know, over 1,000 documents or more on the last day that they're in the White House. And, you know, and Trump stashed them. And now Joe Scarborough is saying, hey, you know, Trump has always about been about the Benjamins, you know, as far as that was his motivation. And we don't even know Jared Kushner whether, well, first of all, there was that war on terrorism, remember? It was an endless war, according to George W. Bush. And so we're still at war. We're still at war. Saudi Arabia had 9 hijackers on 9/11. We're still at war, allegedly. So wouldn't this be a treasonous act if he sold this or gave this, you know, and that was the exchange that Jared Kushner got, you know, the $2 billion from the Saudis? Wouldn't this rise to the level where treason and he could actually be executed?
So thank you for the call, Dynamo Dave. For everyone that may not have been able to follow Dynamo Dave's bouncing ball there of some theories that he strung together, what he effectively is asking is, knowing that we do that, Trump world gaslights America. So whatever they accuse Joe Biden of, whatever they accuse Democrats of, it's basically because they're doing that exact same thing, if not worse, right? So what Dynamo Dave just asked me was, isn't Trump's family engaging in effectively a conspiracy to commit treason to enrich themselves personally? And aren't they indeed committing treason? And he basically laid out a premise that since 9/11, there's been an unofficial war on terror. It's been officialized sort of in different ways and then pulled back and all kinds of things are going. But to most people, we continue to fight a war on terror. And if we're fighting a war on terror, and we know that some of the 9/11 hijackers came from Saudi Arabia, how is it okay that Jared Kushner, after his father-in-law left the White House, struck a deal that's going to net him like $200 million a year for doing something that he's never done before in his entire life and has no qualified experience regarding? Like, that's what he's asking. And he's asking, of course, because Donald Trump was showing these documents to members of the press and they had to deal with our nation's security, isn't that treason? I am not an expert on treason, but I'll tell you this. Other than selling them to Iran or Vladimir Putin, I don't know what could be worse than this. Like, actually spying on his own country for his own personal profit.
Why else would he have them? That's the thing that makes it just really, really bad to my mind.
Like,
just why?
People have asked that question a few times, and I think there's a very simple answer, and Occam's razor is sometimes highly appropriate, and it's that the simplest answer is that he took them because he is a hoarder, and because these things make him feel important. They're vestiges of power. It's like an emperor with no clothes but his robes. He's going to be sure he takes his robes with him.
Yeah, there is that saying, like, never attribute to malice what can be attributed to incompetence. There's a color of that there.
Well put. You know, but again, there's also this well-trod history for Donald Trump of monetizing whatever leverage happens to come his way, right? And I think that's the best way to put it. He monetizes leverage. So he views everything from a leverage and pressure point perspective, and he uses whatever tool is in front of him to create power asymmetry to then turn into money, right? That's the best way I can summarize the psychology of Donald Trump. It's no more complex nor simple than that. And he is an absolute master in operating in circles and places and in relationships where he is assured from moment one that he always will have the most acute, most extraordinary power asymmetry in the relationship. Those are the only relationships Donald Trump will engage in. Why do you think this man's closest advisors in the world are his children? All do. They seem like nifty, also pathological people. But most politicians hire actual experts. And we can, you know, go after expertise all we want. It's not something that I find a particularly enjoyable exercise because I think it's based in ego and baloney. But the three people he trusts most are his kids. What do his kids need? Donald Trump to keep loving them so they get their cut. Right? Who else is, what peer of Donald Trump's does he bring to his side to engage with him, to challenge him? Not a single person.
No.
Right?
And, you know, testimony into the indictment that was released. I know the indictment's still sealed, right?
Which one? The documents case? Yes. No, it's not.
Okay. Well, I know we have a lot of the information, just to make sure. But he asked his lawyers to get in the muck with him. He asked his lawyers to break the law, basically on the record, you know. So they're committed.
Yet to me, it is all about how he uses leverage and power asymmetry to create wealth and more power for him. That's what the presidency is. It's not about the country. Keep writing those checks, CJ. And here's what's interesting. We look at Mike Pence. We look at Kevin McCarthy, right? Two people that I think most even centrist Republicans would say, these are traditional Republicans that they're upholding our values and they're just trying to like get it done and get the policies done. Kevin McCarthy was also discussing the constitutional amendment whereby the president would be removed from office by his cabinet. That's how concerned he was in the aftermath of January 6th. Mike Pence had begun criticizing him, but now both of these ego-driven, power-hungry, there is no bottom, depraved individuals. Now, all they can talk about on Twitter or wherever it is that the FBI has been politicized. The Department of Justice has been weaponized. That there's two systems of justice in the federal law enforcement arena. Give me a frickin' break. But sometimes they say the quiet part out loud, don't they? Don't they, Evan?
Well, they do. That they do.
And McCarthy has been backpedaling ever since this little tidbit came out of his mouth. Roll it, Evan. We think we've got it. We might have it.
Oh, we have it.
Okay. Evan is going to let me know when we've got it because...
Trump's been indicted. We got it.
Here we go.
His poll numbers are going up, so primary voters like him. If he wins the primary, do you think he can win the general? And is it good for the Republican Party if Donald Trump is the nominee?
Look.
And then I want to get to Biden his malarkey defense and all that stuff.
Trump, can Trump beat Biden? Yeah, he can beat Biden.
Is that a good thing for the Republican Party if Donald Trump is the...
Republicans get to select their nominee. I think if you want to go sheer policy to policy, it's not good for Republicans. It's good for America. Trump's policies are better, straightforward than Biden's.
It makes it complicated if he's got all these trials and all this stuff overhanging.
It makes it complicated. Also helps him when.
But do you think he could win an election? Could he win an election?
Can he win that election? Yeah, he can.
You think he can?
The question is he the strongest to win the election? I don't know that answer. But can anybody beat Biden? Yeah, anybody can beat Biden. Can Biden beat other people? Yes, Biden can beat him. It's on any given day.
So.
Yeah, not so smooth.
Oops. Oh, if you missed it, right, you have Kevin McCarthy trying to talk about Trump policies and then finding himself into a place where his interviewer is asking him to effectively compare Trump to other potential Republican candidates. And he basically lets slip that he thinks Donald Trump is a liability in a general election. I don't know how else you interpret. And he realizes what he said. And then
he
starts with the word salad.
And Biden can beat him.
Yep. Oops. That part. I think McCarthy's brain went blank. And admittedly, I've had this happen to me a couple of times in court. It's unfun. Where you're in the middle of it, you've got your flow going, and then all of a sudden you lose it, and you're just, oh, what did I just say? And the only thing that you can think in your head is the truth. And oftentimes what comes out of your mouth when that happens is nothing but the truth. And that is exactly what happened to Kevin McCarthy. Now, Mike Pence, I actually think he's a hand puppet. I'm not sure who's got their hand up. Like, maybe it's the fly.
It's his mother.
I don't know.
It's his mother.
Or it's ChatGPT.
Sure.
Right? But here's the best summary of Mike Pence. I've got 45 seconds. I've got it. Pence loves to talk about being a Christian and a constitutionalist. I'm grateful that he refused to overturn the 2020 presidential election, but that is a low bar. Like so many others who defended and abetted Trump's conduct in office, Pence has become marvelously adept at shading facts, peddling falsehoods, lying, and smearing anyone who tries to hold Trump accountable. He just does it with extra piety. That's from Bulwark today after a summary of all Pence's tortured explanations of Donald Trump's criminality. Blech. Hi, Maggie Dawn. Keep it locked in. This is the Maggie Dawn Show on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Sometimes I comb my hair and sometimes I won't. Depending on how the wind blows, I might even paint my toes.
Welcome back, everybody. I am Maggie Dawn. This is the Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Network. Go get that app. You'll love it. We got a few callers here. And Evan, I do see we've got Jeannie from Eau Claire. But I did want to get some sort of apparently interesting, maybe on point ramblings from CJ to kick it off. And I will want to grab a little bit of that Cheney audio after we hear from CJ. But CJ, my friend, welcome back. It's nice to hear from you. What do you have to say?
Well, thank you, Maggie, for taking my call. I want accountability for wherever it leads. I don't care if it's the Biden family or the Trump family. But the mere fact that you don't talk about today's news doesn't really surprise me. Did you happen to watch the IRS whistleblower on CBS News? Was it Fox? The CBS News, the IRS investigator whistleblower about the cover-up all the way to the top of Merrick Garland and the impeachment proceeding that is getting started by Kevin McCarthy. God bless his soul.
So no, I haven't. Thanks for that, CJ. And here's what I'm going to do. I'll pay a whole lot of attention to that when I'll go check it out. But if there isn't actual evidence and specific information about the alleged conspiracy, and I will read and I will follow the coverage, CJ. But I'm not going to bring unsubstantiated allegations. No. I'm not going to bring something that has absolutely no evidentiary basis that hasn't resulted in a criminal charge yet forward. If this looks to be something that actually has legs, CJ, I will talk about it. If Biden is as corrupt as you have argued he is, let me finish. If Biden is as corrupt as you have argued he is, I will stand proudly and argue for his impeachment, sir. You began your call onto this program with the most fair thing that I've heard you say in quite some time. And you said that everyone should be held accountable. And so if what that whistleblower said today is true and there is evidence to back it up, then yes, that accountability should go right to the top, CJ. I couldn't agree with you more on that point. But what I always will demand is evidence and actual charges that can be proven in a court of law where people have to swear an oath and say that they will risk going to prison for perjury. That's what I'm focused on. There was another little piece of news today. Thanks for calling, CJ. Keep listening. Keep calling. I love to chop it up with you, friend. There was another little piece of audio today that I thought I'd throw there out there. And then we'll talk about, maybe that state senator that used the F-bomb on the floor today and why they did so. But I did want to hear from that former congressional representative from Ohio that did see some pretty direct evidence of some wrongdoing. What did Liz Cheney have to say today, Evan?
What we've done in our politics is create a situation where we're electing idiots. And and so I don't look at it through the lens of like, you know, is this what I should do or what I shouldn't do? I look at it through the lens of how do we elect serious people? And I think electing serious people can't be partisan.
Wow.
She used some colorful language, but she was
Let's just stick with that. Electing serious people shouldn't be partisan. Electing serious people shouldn't be partisan. And I think today we heard someone, a state senator who represents a Democrat who represents a portion of Milwaukee on the Senate floor today in our state capitol, drop the F-bomb. And I think with good gosh darn reason, not sure I would recommend doing that. But what she had to say and what led her to that place emotionally was very serious. Because what's baked into this budget that's going to be shoved down our throats by the GOP in our state house neglects families. It neglects what are once very proud, almost universally hailed as one of the best, most affordable public educations in the world, decimating that program. And what Senator, and I'm not going to say the name yet, has say, yeah, I can see where she got to the F-bomb. But Jeannie from Eau Claire, what do you have to say this afternoon on the Maggie Dawn Show? Thanks for calling.
We literally just lost her. Jeannie,
you got a couple Jeannie, minutes. Oh, Jeannie, call on back, my friend. Right. Sorry we lost you. Yeah. Well, not to bury the lead. Sorry we lost you, Jeannie. But the senator that used the F-bomb today on the Senate floor was Senator LaTanya Johnson from Milwaukee. And she said it because... Well, first of all, let me tell you what she said. She said, F the suburbs because they don't know a GD thing about how life is in the city.
Yeah.
And she used the words. Yeah. But the reason that she got there is she was talking about a number of provisions in the GOP budget. And one of them is truly, truly, at least in my view, disturbing. And that is they are taking out continuation of a program that was called Child Care Counts that was started under President Biden to help out during the pandemic and effectively was a federal subsidy to child care centers. And I'm just going to tell you, the GOP has taken out continued funding for that. And here's what a report that dropped just last week from the Wisconsin Policy Forum found, that child care in Milwaukee County cost $12,000 a year for a four-year-old, and it costs $16,000 a year for an infant. And so that amounts to 22 to 30% of your income. If you make the mean income, the medium income in Milwaukee County of $55,000.
That's a mortgage.
That's correct. You go broke doing that. And the GOP here in Wisconsin, they want to tell you, we're not going to help out with that. What they want to do is incentivize new child care centers, but that's not going to solve the problem because the labor shortage is the problem, so that the price will continue to be extraordinarily high until there is a subsidy to help pay for the labor that we need to take care of our children. That's what the GOP in this state are about. Not the kids, not middle-class affordable families. That's why Senator LaTanya Johnson used the F-bomb on the floor of the Senate today. I will be back after the 4th of July break, I think. And I'm going to have some really cool guests. And we'll be back tomorrow before we get there. So this is Maggie Dawn. This has been the Maggie Dawn Show. Thank you, Evan Preston, here on the Civic Media Network. Come on back tomorrow. We'll have more for you, folks.